After several hours of trying to make sense out of the experience, I fell asleep without any answers. I spent the next day arguing with myself about the experience. My whole belief system was blown to pieces. Seeing is believing, and I could not deny that I had experienced the vibrations, the hissing sound, the paralysis and the blue ring of energy. I even saw through my closed eyelids. I knew I was not hallucinating, I was not insane, I was not dreaming and I was not under hypnosis. My experience was very real to me, as real as my normal waking consciousness, if not more real than that. My first observation was that some kind of non-physical reality existed. That observation was a direct contradiction of my scientific beliefs because science had been leading me to believe there was no such thing as a non-physical reality. Furthermore, I reasoned, Einstein's theory of relativity says that matter is the same as energy. If a person could consciously leave their body and enter a truly non-physical world, they wouldn't exactly be matter, or energy as we know it. Science left no room for consciousness or spirit in their formulas. Science led me to believe that there were only three basic dimensions of experience, plus time, and five senses. Everything else was labeled superstition, nonsense, hallucination or possibly religion. There is a fact of logic that when a premise is wrong, any conclusions made from that premise are also wrong. Since I had discovered a premise of science that was wrong, or at the very best incomplete, I deduced that many or all of the conclusions made by modern science were also wrong. At the very least, they were ignoring some major facts. My own scientific training had led me to distrust science itself. I could no longer trust the textbooks I loved as a child. Nevertheless, I believe that if a system works, it is okay to use it until you find something that works better. I decided that I would still use the scientific method as a tool but never completely trust science again. Meanwhile, the only thing I could do to find peace of mind was to try to induce more out-of-body experiences and learn more about the non-physical world. My inner turmoil didn't end with my scientific belief system. I was Catholic, and that caused its own complications. The Catholic system taught me to believe in one heaven, one hell and one earth. On Judgment Day, they said, God judges a person to be either good or bad. The people labeled bad go to hell forever, and the people labeled good go to heaven forever. And of course, until you die, you spend your days on earth. I could guess what the Catholics would say about a non-physical reality. The liberal Catholics would probably say that I was being absurd, and they had science to back them up. Fundamentalists would probably say that any such experience must surely be the work of the devil, trying to lead my soul into sin. Still, I refused to believe I was being tricked. Seeing is believing. I had seen that a non-physical place existed and it wasn't heaven or hell. Therefore, I had also found a basic premise of Catholicism that was wrong. I decided not to trust what the Catholics had taught me because they were just as ignorant of this non-physical world as I had been. I continued going to church for a while, but I started an intense examination of my Catholic beliefs. Hoping to find some answers, I found a Bible that I got as a confirmation gift, and I read the entire New Testament and much of the Old Testament. The Bible convinced me that Jesus was a good man, and taught good lessons. In fact, I agreed with everything that Jesus was supposed to have said. But even what I read in the Bible didn't agree with my Catholic belief system. Heavy questions nagged in my heart. Why does the Catholic Church insist that Jesus is the Son of God, when Jesus called himself the Son of Man repeatedly? Why do they pray, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, then immediately they receive him? Why do they pray for their own petty interests instead of entrusting that God would take care of the world? Why do they preach about needing to fear God? Why do they hold carnivals and bingo games when Jesus said not to use a place of worship in these ways, and even kicked money changers out of a temple? Why, indeed, do they pass a money plate in church? Why do they spend millions and millions of dollars on grandiose churches? Have you ever seen St. Peter's Basilica, when people are starving? Why do they call the Pope our Holy Father when Jesus said not to call anyone Father, Matthew 23:9? Why do the Catholics go to church and pray in public when Jesus said, "When you pray, go into the room by yourself in your secret place," Matthew 6:5. Why do people go to church on Sunday and are unspiritual the rest of the week? It seemed wrong that, as a Catholic, going to church was my obligation and, once fulfilled, I was free to be as mundane and unspiritual as I wanted. Just one out-of-body experience blasted that whole hypocritical concept out of the water. During my out-of-body experience, I saw that I was a spiritual being. In fact, I was a spirit, and the thought of dying without some real relationship with God was scary. Before my out-of-body experience, it was enough to recite prayers I didn't even understand. After my out-of-body experience, it was clear I needed to do more. Eventually I came to realize that my Catholic belief system was not spiritual at all. The closer I looked, the more I understood. So I stopped going to church and embarked on a truly spiritual path. I don't mean to imply that all Catholics are unspiritual. It's just that I needed to find my own answers. Since my out-of-body experience taught me to have a real concern with spiritual matters, I realized that my out-of-body experience had taught me to be more spiritual, not less. I decided that God would not send me to hell for leaving the church and finding my own spiritual path. I resolved to ignore the pain, ignore the fear, ignore the danger, and take my chances with death and damnation to discover the truth. I decided to keep trying every night, until I got more results. Meanwhile, I decided to raid the Minneapolis Public Library to find more information on OBs, and other methods of producing them. Exercise 4, Pretend Day. If you've read any other books on astral projection, you may have wondered, why have almost all out-of-body experience techniques been an exercise of the imagination? Why are there so many visualizations? Why is pretending so important to leaving the body? Well, first let me make myself perfectly clear, OBs are a lot more than just pretend, they are real. Absolutely real. If you've had one, there will be no doubt in your mind. During the out-of-body experience, you are as wide awake, alert and conscious as you are while reading this. Sometimes more so. All this pretending is just a stepping stone to get you out of your body. Before talking about pretending, I'd like to expose another myth. Some occult books say that children can leave their bodies easily, but it's harder for most adults. They therefore conclude that as you get older, you become more cemented in your physical body. They say the older you get, the harder it is to have OBs, because we become more focused in our body. Well, that just isn't true. People who say that are using an excuse to be lazy and not practice. Why, then, don't adults have more OBs? One reason is that adults don't use their imagination as much or as vividly as children. That doesn't mean we can't use our imaginations well, it just means that most people don't. There's something magical about the imagination. Children know that intuitively. It's a matter of focus. Children use their imagination to unfocus from their daily lives. They know how to daydream and pretend. That's why children are so psychic. And we can become that psychic, that aware, if we start exercising our playful imaginations too. This exercise isn't just for now, it's an all-day exercise. I want you to make today pretend day. All day today, at every available opportunity, I want you to exercise your playful imagination. These little pretend skits don't have to be long. It's better to be short and frequent, than long and drawn out. I'll give you some examples. Go through your day doing these sorts of things. The next time you sit down, just pretend for a few short seconds that you fall through your chair, in your astral body, and find yourself on the ground or through the floor. The next time you open a door, playfully pretend that your hand passes through the doorknob instead of grabbing it. The next time you walk up a flight of stairs, playfully pretend you glide up it, smoothly without walking. Pretend that your astral body glides up the stairs and patiently waits for your physical body to arrive at the top. The next time you look in a mirror, pretend you are looking at your physical body from afar. Pretend you are astral, in as many instances as you can. Also, it's good to pretend non-out-of-body experience things today. For instance, the next time you take a drive, In your car, pretend that it lifts off the ground and starts flying over the traffic. The next time you are stopped by a traffic light, pretend that you get out a gun and shoot it. Chapter 5, Books and Prods. Monroe said that fear was the biggest barrier to the out-of-body experience, and I soon found out why. If I were somehow able to leave my body, and Monroe can leave his, how many more people are out there, and what can they do to me while I was also out there? It also made sense that when a person's body dies, they are forced to have a permanent out-of-body experience. What could they do to me? Furthermore, what could happen to my body while I was out? Could somebody else get inside my body while I was out? These were some questions that crossed my mind during the 2 months after my first encounter. During those 2 months, I had my first dream about having an out-of-body experience. I dreamed I was dreaming. In the second-level dream, I was telling my brother how I often attempted Hobies, and I showed him how to concentrate. Then I felt my chest rise. I thought of it rising more, and it did. My dream self then came out of my body, which was in the bed of the first-level dream. I started walking toward my door, when I was pulled back inside by my body by the cord. I thought, good. Now I can wake up and record that I've been out of my body. However, when I woke up I knew it was only a dream. It paled in comparison to my first episode with the vibrations. Still, having a dream about an out-of-body experience was fun, and I knew that later I could compare it to a real out-of-body experience. Little did I know that my first real out-of-body experience was just around the corner. Although I didn't have another out-of-body experience during those 2 months, I did run into some unexpected and frightening sensations and experiences. These sensations weren't bad, just startling. They often jarred me out of the near out-of-body experience state and spoiled the whole out-of-body experience attempt. Sometimes it felt as if a warm hand was being placed on my body. I even felt a few pinches on my butt. One night I followed Monroe's procedure to the letter and was making good progress toward leaving my body. Suddenly I became very aware and alert. My eyes were closed and I was moving deeper into the blackness that I saw ahead of me, into a deeper state of consciousness. Suddenly, I heard an authoritative voice say, "Stop." How could I argue? I never expected to be hearing voices during these experiments. I panicked and did everything I could to force myself back to a normal state. Another night I was trying to blank my mind without much success. After a while, I started to feel a swaying sensation, as if some part of my consciousness was rocking gently. I tried to increase the swaying, but the more I tried, the less I swayed. When I quit trying, the swaying would get stronger again. The swaying sensation was very much like the sea legs sensation that sailors experience when they've been on a ship too long and try to sleep on shore. After some experimentation, I managed to change the direction of the swaying from side to side instead of up and down. The sensation was strange, but I could see no harm in it. From then on I could create the swaying sensation quite easily once I relaxed enough during practice. Several times I induced a strange bodily vibration that stemmed from my relaxation technique of tensing and relaxing my entire body. I wondered if this bodily vibration was related to the true out-of-body experience vibrations. The answer came one night when I decided to conduct an experiment in which I tried to watch myself fall asleep, page 18. I relaxed and just kept going deeper and deeper towards sleep. Suddenly, against my will, I was zapped into a state of full awareness. Then I felt a slight tingling. Then the vibrations came without my reaching for them. This time I noticed that the true vibrations were a crackling, electrical vibration. It felt as if electrical currents were disrupting my body, but not painfully, and not harming it. I tried to strengthen the vibrations with my mind. I managed to get them a little stronger, but like my first encounter, I could hear, but not feel, that my heart was pounding wildly. This broke my train of thought and the vibrations faded, as if my idle thinking, or worrying, drove them off. One night I got to the point where my mind wouldn't wander. I heard some banging sounds in my room that I couldn't explain. Suddenly I heard a louder, more defined bang that seemed to come from the ground, about 5 feet from the bed. I directed my senses in that direction and felt a big presence there, as if a spirit or ghost of some sort were there. I was afraid, but I tried to control my emotions, and asked in my mind who it was and what its purpose was. There was no answer. I forced myself back to full consciousness and looked in that direction. I saw a filmy, undefined movement in that direction. By then, I was so afraid that I purposely started moving parts of my body, to make sure I wouldn't leave my body. I tried my hardest to find a physical, logical explanation for all of this, but was unsuccessful. Naturally, it took me a while to calm down and dare to shut my eyes to go to sleep. At other times, I started noticing strange tugging sensations during out-of-body experience practice. It felt as if someone were pulling at my clothes or hair during practice. The sensation seemed to have something to do with the swaying motion. It felt as if something or someone were pulling on whatever was swaying. It was like my astral body was being tugged while I was still fully in my body. I also started feeling pressures similar to the tugging sensations. When this happened, it seemed as if heavy weights were placed on various parts of my body, my forehead, my feet, my chest. Sometimes if I didn't move, these pressures would become painful after a few minutes. With practice, I became better at producing the vibrations. I noticed that just before the vibrations came, I was always zapped into a state of acute alertness. Sometimes it seemed as if my consciousness was focused into an oval disc at my body's face. But every time the vibrations would come, my heart would start pounding, I would panic, and the vibrations would slowly fade until I was back to normal. When I opened my eyes, they were cloudy but slowly cleared up. My body felt very heavy and stiff. My hands were stiff and hard to open. Sometimes I was also slightly dizzy after the experience. I started noticing another strange sensation while trying to leave my body, a ringing noise in my ears. I quickly learned to reproduce the ringing, but it never got me anywhere, so I learned to ignore it. Another thing I've experienced during practice is sudden falling sensations. I would be quietly attempting out-of-body experience, and suddenly it would feel as if a trap door had sprung open, and I would panic fall about 3 feet. After 3 feet, I would be startled back to full consciousness with a slight jump, as if my astral body was slapped back into the physical body. This had a simple variation that was more common. Sometimes it seemed as if my consciousness was thrown 3 to 5 feet forward or backward. 19. Sometimes I heard very loud rushing or roaring noises in my head. Usually when this happened, I also felt as if my consciousness was being crushed in on all sides. It's as if the very boundaries of my awareness were forced down to a tiny infinitesimal pinpoint in the center of my head. A Friday end of mine told me of a few jarring sensations that sometimes disturb her just before OBs. The first sensation she described as feeling like her heart was pulling apart or expanding. The second sensation is loss of breath, as if the astral body does not breathe and she loses all awareness of bodily breathing. She also says that her whole field of vision sometimes shrinks suddenly, like a camera shutter. Trying to ignore these sensations is like trying to ignore a slap in the face. I discovered that the best thing to do was to acknowledge them, but remain passive and not let them startle me and ruin the out-of-body experience attempt. When I finally learned to get through these sensations calmly, they started leading me to conscious astral projection. There was a good outcome of all the Friday evening experiences. They helped me get over my fear. I was forced to face my fears and conquer them one by one, especially my fear of the unknown. Exercise 5, Daily Visualizations. Much of the occult literature concerning out-of-body experiences claims that we leave our bodies every night during sleep, but we usually are not conscious during these nightly excursions. Usually the out-of-body experience only happens after our consciousness has been disabled. But sometimes something goes wrong with the process and a piece of our conscious self retains awareness during the separation. At those times, we often wake up abruptly with a jolt before we are fully asleep. One of the tricks to having out-of-body experiences is getting your subconscious mind to wake you up after you are out of your body. Quite simply, If you can influence your subconscious mind to reinstate your conscious awareness once the process of separation is complete, you will have fully conscious OBs. There are several approaches to influencing the subconscious mind. In previous exercises, we used affirmations and prayers to influence the subconscious mind, and influence other things as well. Hypnosis is another excellent approach. Early studies in hypnosis showed a lot of promise in inducing OBs. Unfortunately, there have been very few experiments in this area to the best of my knowledge, and the literature is scarce. There are several audio hypnosis tapes available for inducing OBs. I'm fairly resistant to hypnosis, so I haven't had any results using these tapes. The closest I've experienced was remote viewing, which, I think, isn't nearly as fun as astral projection. 20. Another way to influence the subconscious is through concentrated visualizations, done frequently throughout the day. Any visualization that is out-of-body experience related is good. Here are a few I use. Visualize yourself flying over valleys, seas, plains. Visualize yourself shooting out away from your body. Visualize yourself floating. Sit down and visualize that you take a step back and stand up so that you are looking down at the back of your head. Then think to yourself, "That's not me. That's just a shell." Practice holding on to visualizations as long as you can. See how real you can make the visualization. These skills are very valuable for learning OBs. In some exercises for other chapters, I will be giving visualizations for inducing out-of-body experiences. Chapter 6, My First Out-of-Body Experience. The morning of November 1, 1979, started out normal. I woke up around 7 a.m., did my usual morning routine and caught a bus to the University of Minnesota. I got to the university at 9 a.m., walked into my favorite computer lab and started programming. I worked furiously on a microcomputer game for several hours until it was time for my Thursday class. I hurried off to class, took copious notes during class, then hurried back to the computer lab. This time I logged into the university's time-sharing computer and started working on another game I wrote. A hockey game was playing on a radio in the back of the lab. I worked on that computer game until 10 p.m. that night. After 12 hours of intense programming, I started getting tired and hungry. I hadn't eaten since breakfast. I signed off the computer and caught the next bus home. When I got home at 10:30 p.m., I was hungry. I looked in the refrigerator and found a big pan of lasagna. My mom must have made me a big lasagna dinner and I missed it by staying late at the university. I took out a big slice of lasagna, heated it and wolfed it down. Ordinarily I'd have made my usual attempt to leave my body. But that night I was just too tired. I went to bed at 11:30 p.m. and was asleep the minute my head hit the pillow. I fell into a deep sleep and started dreaming a programmer's most hated and feared dream, the programming dream. The same dream plagued me for hours. I was sitting at a computer terminal, asking myself, how can I make this program better? I put up with that dream for 4 annoying hours. That was all I could stand. I became so annoyed by this dream that I couldn't take any more. Slowly I turned my attention away from the dream. I slowly forced myself to become conscious, but as I did, I noticed the dream was still going on. Somehow I was awake and asleep at the same time. What happened next is hard to describe. My consciousness was split into 5 parts. Each part was separate and unique, yet I was each of them simultaneously. Each was thinking its own thoughts and communicating with the other 4. All 5 of me were arguing about the computer game and how to make it better. The feeling was beyond words. I was 5 personalities at the same time and I was talking to myself. One of my 5 selves asked, "Well, how can we make the space war game better?" Another me said, "Well, I think we should allow more interactive communication between spaceships." Yet another me replied, "No, I think it's more important to improve the fighting ability of the computer-controlled opponent ships." One of my 5 selves was bored to tears watching this whole conversation and tried to force itself to consciousness. Now that I was conscious, I was fascinated at what was happening. I was conscious and split into five parts, and each of them were taking turns talking. At first I tried to follow the conversation, but something strange started happening. As I became more conscious, my four other selves seemed to speed up. I tried to keep up with the conversation, but the talking became faster and faster. Soon they sounded like a tape player in fast-forward mode, and I lost track of what they were saying. Meanwhile, the voices faded into the distance and seemed to disappear. My consciousness was no longer split. I was completely awake and aware of my surroundings, but I knew something was not normal. My body felt unusual. It felt odd to be conscious and yet still asleep. Just then, I got a strange feeling all over, like a shiver over my whole body. I listened to see if I could hear what caused the strange feeling. I heard what sounded like a hockey announcer in the background. I thought, now that's odd. Where could that be coming from? I wondered if the sound could be coming from the bathroom where we kept a small radio. It sounded a little bit too loud for that. The radio had to be closer to my bedroom. I wondered if a radio was playing in our dining room, which was next to my bedroom. That didn't make sense because there weren't any radios in that room. Besides, the radio seemed a bit too loud for that, too. I figured the radio must be in my bedroom somewhere. I thought for a moment that my little alarm clock radio might have turned on in the night, but it seemed too loud even for that. It was loud enough to be my stereo, but I remembered turning it off before going to bed. Besides, when I listened closer, the hockey announcer sounded even closer than my stereo. As I listened, the sound of the hockey announcer's voice grew louder and louder, as if someone were turning up the volume steadily. I started to worry as the sound became louder and louder, until finally my ears were hurting and I was ready to scream with the pain. Suddenly it stopped and I experienced complete and total silence. Another strange feeling came over me. I felt like I was completely separate from my body, although I was still occupying the same space. I decided to try to get out. I had read a few out-of-body experience books by then. Some of them had good techniques to separate the consciousness from the body, but none of them said what to do next. How could I get away from the body I was laying in? Since I was in my astral body, gravity didn't affect me, so I didn't just fall out of the body. My astral body could pass right through physical matter, so I didn't think I could grab onto anything to pull myself out. I didn't think I could push my way out either. What could I push against? I thought about the problem for a few minutes. Then I examined my physical body and noticed that it seemed solid on the outside edges. The edges looked like a barrier of gray. My physical body seemed like a bottle. It was solid on the outside, but hollow on the inside. I was like the liquid inside the bottle, fluid and elastic, but there was no way out of the bottle. At first I tried to twist myself inside the physical body so I could climb out the stomach. I wiggled my astral arms out of the physical arms, like taking off a tight sweater. Then I squirmed until I was under the ribcage. I reached my astral arms up, and tried to claw my way through the stomach. I clawed and clawed, but some barrier, some force field, was holding me back. The harder I struggled against the barrier, the more impossible it seemed to move. I managed to inch my way for a little while but gave up and lay down again. I decided to try another way out. I lifted my legs over my head, and did a backward somersault over my head and out of my body. I felt free and weightless. I wanted to float slowly up to the ceiling. With that thought, I started to float gently up. Then I looked up and thought about my destination, the top of the ceiling. Suddenly, I wished up to the ceiling. I looked around the room with a sense of delight. I looked straight down at my body. It was under the bed covers, but from what I could see it looked like it had just collapsed and was out cold. I thought, gee, what if I fall from up here? As soon as the thought crossed my mind, I came crashing down into my physical body and rejoined. I went right into a short, dreamless sleep. In a minute or two I woke up in my physical body. Being a skeptic, I asked myself, was that a hallucination? Did I dream it all? No way. It was real beyond my wildest expectations of real. I rolled over and looked at the time. It was 3:45 a.m. in the morning. I recalled the whole incident 3 or 4 times in my mind, so I wouldn't forget to write down any of the details later. During the experience I was perfectly cool, calm and collected. That is, until I crashed into my body.